copyright Forum of Christian Leaders. The contents contained on this website are solely for your own individual, non-commercial, and informational use. Any other use is strictly prohibited without our express prior written consent. See the full copyright disclosure at focalonline.org.
5% of adults, 5% of adults suffer with irregular heartbeats. That goes up to 25% of adults who are 40 years and older. And so 5% of adults have an irregular heartbeat, and that could be their heart races or their heart beats too slow or something called atrial fibrillation, the upper chamber of the heart out of sync with the lower chamber. And so anyway, a lot of people's hearts are out of sync and do not beat correctly. And an irregular heartbeat is dangerous to the health of our bodies, and it needs to be regulated. And it can be regulated with a pacemaker, it can be regulated through surgery, it can be regulated through medication and drugs. Ministry leaders and churches sometimes develop irregular heartbeats. And there can be a danger in a pastor's ministry, and there can be a real danger in our churches. What do I mean by that? Well, sometimes our churches, the heartbeat of our church doesn't consistently beat for what matters to God. Sometimes our churches and our hearts can beat irregularly. Sometimes they're healthy for God and sometimes they're not. And sometimes our heartbeats are too faint for what matters to God in our churches. And today, my prayer is that we will regulate the heartbeat of our churches, and that our hearts will beat strong for the things that God wants our hearts to beat for and our church's heart to beat for. And personal heartbeat and our church's heartbeat is vital for the revitalization and renewal of our churches. And so what we're going to do is we're going to take out a stethoscope. Stethoscope listens to the heartbeat of a person, okay? And we're going to hear what a healthy heartbeat sounds like. And this is found in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9. So if you have your scriptures, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and let's listen to a healthy heartbeat. For if I preach the gospel, Paul writes, I have nothing to boast of, for I am under compulsion. For woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this voluntarily, I have a reward, but if against my will, I have a stewardship entrusted to me. What then is my reward that when I preach the gospel, I may offer the gospel without charge so as to not make full use of my right in the gospel? And so a healthy heartbeat for a church, a healthy heartbeat for a pastor or ministry leader is a gospel heartbeat. Constantly, gospel, 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 gospel. Everything, the heartbeat of the gospel, the heartbeat of the good news of Jesus Christ. It beats with good news. It desires to give the good news. It is centered on the good news of Jesus. And this is especially in this world, so important in this world, filled with nothing but bad news, to make sure our churches and we as ministry leaders beat with the good news of the gospel. And church renewal must be centered on the good news. Our churches, if they are going to be strong, if they are going to be vibrant, if they are going to be alive, they must be centered on the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're going to look right now at we've heard heart encouragement, but now we're going to look at the heartbeat. And the first thing we learn is this. Make the choice. You've got to make the choice. Why do I say that? Look at verse 16. For though I am free... For if I preach the gospel, he says if. So there's a choice right there. Not all pastors preach the gospel. Not all churches stand on the gospel. You've got to make sure that choice is made if there's ever going to be renewal in your church. If there's going to be revitalization in your church. Not all pastors share their faith with people. This needs to be a consistent part of my life and your life. That we talk to people about Jesus Christ and his love for them and salvation and forgiveness of sins. Our hearts must beat for lost people. Not all preach the gospel. There's pastors out there, many of them, that we call sugarcoat the messages. They sweeten the message. They tickle the ears when they preach to people. And that's found in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, They will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires, who will turn away their ears from the truth and turn aside to myths. So we've got to be careful. There are people, they just want to hear what's good. They don't want to hear the bad news. Well, part of the good news is the bad news. Yes, there's sin, but yes, there's salvation and forgiveness through Jesus. We're called to preach the gospel. And we must remember, it's a command. I mean, we know these scriptures. You know, Matthew chapter 28, Jesus came and spoke to them saying, "All authority has been given me in heaven. Go therefore and make disciples." That's the gospel. Make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them and teaching them. And I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 7 through 8, you know, we're told to be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, even to the remotest parts of the earth. And so we know what we're supposed to do. And that has to be the heartbeat of our churches, to make disciples. That has to be the heartbeat of our churches and us as ministry leaders, to share the gospel. And something I do every single message I preach is I share the gospel. I know most of the people in my church are believers. But every single message, I give a gospel. Every single passage I preach, I can transition at the end of my message and share the love of Jesus Christ. And then I ask people for a response. I just have them in their seats. If you'd like to receive Christ, pray a prayer of faith sincerely in your heart right now, and I lead them in a prayer. Because there's always people in my church every single week that I know they're probably not saved. And so I want to encourage you, share the gospel. I don't know how large your churches are. You know, if they're very, very small and you personally know every single person there, obviously you probably wouldn't need to do that. But if there's people there, you're not really sure where they are salvation-wise. We're told the parable of the four soils. Only one of the four soils was good soil. The others looked like they were good soil. So we're not always sure people in our churches truly know Jesus or not. They may just be religious people. And so I encourage you to share the gospel. And we also need to remember Romans chapter 10. Whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. How will they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how will they believe in whom they've not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? And how will they preach unless they're sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. So the first thing we learn when it comes to maintaining a gospel heartbeat is we got to make a choice. Secondly, we need to be humble. Verse 16, for if I preach the gospel, Paul says, I have nothing to boast of. So there's no pride. There's no pride. The power is in the message, not the messenger. The power is in the message of the gospel, not the giver of the gospel. So the focus must be the gospel, not me. The focus must be God's plan to save souls, not you and me. The focus must be the gospel. There's a good reminder for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 to be humble. For consider your calling, brethren, that there are not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. And the base things of the world and the despised God has chosen, and the things that are not, so that he might nullify the things that are. So that no man may boast before God. But by his doing, we are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. And so this is a good check for you and for me. It's not because of our wisdom. It's not because of our might. It's not because of our nobility. He says, I've chosen the foolish things and the weak things and the base things and the despised things and the things that are not. So it is completely a work of God. Not a work of me, and not a work of any man. Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. May it never be that I would boast except in the cross of Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. So, to maintain this gospel heartbeat, we got to make a choice. We got to be humble. Next, we got to get passionate. We got to give it our all. Give it all of our energy is what we've got to do. Get passionate. And that's how we need to be when we preach the gospel. Look at verse 16. For I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of. For I am under compulsion. For woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. So Paul says, I'm compelled. I have to give the gospel. I have to tell people about Jesus. I need to tell them about the good news. And compulsion means I'm obligated. I have to do this. I'm constrained to do this. And it kind of reminds me of Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9. If I say I will not remember him or speak any more in his name, then in my heart it becomes like a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary of holding it in. I cannot endure it. So Jeremiah says, I just have to give the word of God. I just have to preach. I just have to teach. I just have to tell people about our God. And not just Paul who is compelled, but we're charged with the task of giving the gospel as well. Again, back to Matthew chapter 18 or 28, the Great Commission. Go therefore and make disciples, and also to recruit more is what we need to do. He said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, workers are few. Beseech the Lord of the harvest to send workers into his harvest. What we've got to do is announce the good news. May 8th, this little baby was born. Anybody know that baby's name? Anybody know?
Yeah.
Archie. Royal baby Archie. And all the world was talking about Archie. Well, Archie's cousin was born 5 years before that. Anybody know who that is? Anybody? Prince George Alexander Louis. And that's Archie's cousin. That's in line to the throne. And now here's Prince George today. All England and all of the world were talking about those babies. Everybody was talking about them. Those babies going to do anything for anybody? Nope. Baby's going to change anybody's life? Nope. We got to stop talking about Prince so-and-so and start talking about King Jesus. Because King Jesus is the only one that's going to make a difference. We talk about so many things. We talk about sports. We talk about the weather. We talk about all these things. We need to start talking to people about Jesus. Because he's the only one that can make a difference. He's the only one that can save a soul. He's the only one that can forgive people of their sins, is Jesus. Paul says, I got to share the gospel. I got to tell people about Jesus. He says, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. He says, woe is me, despicable me, if I do not give the gospel. I just have to do this. Or woe is me. I enjoy running. I love running. It's just an outlet for me. I had an injury a few weeks back. Couldn't run for 2 weeks. Oh, woe was me. I couldn't run. I just wanted to run so bad, but I couldn't. Paul says, woe is me. I've got to preach the gospel. If you're in ministry, you're in a church, you've got to preach the gospel. You got to tell them about the Lord. Woe is me if I do not share Jesus Christ. Share him. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why? It's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. There is no shame in the gospel because there is power in the gospel. There's shame in a lot of things in this world. There is no shame in knowing Jesus Christ and in naming the Son of God. There's no shame in that. Never be ashamed of your Savior, for only he has the power to save a life and change a life for all of eternity. So maintain a gospel heartbeat. What do? We must make the choice. We must be humble. We must get passionate. Next, we must take our responsibility seriously. This is a serious responsibility. Verse 17, for if I do this voluntarily, I have a reward. But if against my will, I have a stewardship entrusted to me. And so he says, I do this voluntarily. He says, be a gospel volunteer. Volunteer. The best way to witness is not coerced, not forced into it, not out of obligation, but out of love. Volunteering. And love is the greatest motivation and the greatest commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. and all your mind. And this is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So it's out of love. And he says this reward, Paul will explain this in a moment, this reward. He says, give the gospel even if we don't feel like it. He says, if against my will, I have a stewardship. So I have a stewardship entrusted to me. So whether I feel good about it, whether I'm tired or not, whether I don't know the person, whether I feel someone else can do a better job, it doesn't matter. I share the gospel. I had a taxi here. A guy's name was Stanislav. Polish. Spoke pretty good English. So I was in the car with him for about an hour and a half. Just sharing. Just talking. Talking about a lot of things, but talking about the gospel too. He dropped me off at the hotel. And I just had a chance. I said, you know what, Stanislav? I don't know where you are spiritually. I've talked to you. Can I just pray for you right now? He said, sure. So I just prayed for him right then and just asked God to work in his heart. Wherever you are, share the gospel. Whoever you're with, share the gospel. And let that compulsion, the Spirit of God, use you to share the gospel. Again, the Great Commission. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations. There's no mistake where God has placed you. No mistake who your neighbors are. No mistake who you work with if you have a job outside a church or a ministry. There's no mistake. God has us there to share the gospel. So to maintain a gospel heartbeat, make the choice, be humble, get passionate, take the responsibility seriously. Here's another one. Whoop. Give up your rights. Give up your rights. Verse 18. Paul says, what is then is my reward? That when I preach the gospel, I may offer the gospel without charge so as not to make full use of my right in the gospel. It's one of the things I love about this conference. Nobody's paid. There's no honorariums. It's all volunteer. That's these volunteers here. Myself. We raised money. We came over just to serve. That's Paul. He says, you know what? I give up my right. I give up my right to the gospel. He didn't expect anything back. And why did he do that? So that no one could accuse him of any underhand motives or methods. Now, is there anything wrong with someone in ministry being paid? Answer, no. There's nothing wrong with that. As a matter of fact, we read these verses. If we sowed spiritual things in you, is it too much if we reap material things from you? So even Paul wrote that and said, there's nothing wrong with being paid if you're in ministry. And then verse 14 of 1 Corinthians 9. So also the Lord directed those who proclaim the gospel to get their living from the gospel. So there's nothing wrong with that either. And in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. The elders who rule well are to be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. For their scripture says, you shall not muzzle the ox or while he's threshing, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. And so Paul understands that aspect too. He's not going to be paid. He's going to volunteer, but he understands it's okay to pay others as well. So he has that balance and that perspective. But Paul refuses his right of payment. Verse 18, when I preach the gospel, I may offer the gospel without charge so as not to make full use of my right in the gospel. And as far as we know, the pastors and elders who shepherded the church after Paul received payment when he left. And Paul, what was Paul? He was bivocational. How many of you here are bivocational pastors? You have a secular job as well as a church. You work in the church. Anybody? Or you have full-time staff at the church? What are you? Part-time?
I teach religion in public school.
Okay.
But I also teach in the church.
Okay. So you teach in the public school, but you also teach in the church. Good. Are all of you full-time pastors or full-time ministry workers? Yep. Okay. Paul was a tent maker, as we know. So, to maintain a gospel heartbeat, what do? Make the choice, be humble, get passionate, and take our responsibility seriously, followed by give up our rights.